Good evening. Well, Dogen, in this little piece of his work, his lifelong work, this early piece begins to answer sort of basic questions that people might ask, ask, what the hell are you talking about? And how can you say that? So the first questions are very simple, and then they get a little more complex. And Uchiyama Roshi is very interesting in talking about clarifying the world of Zazen and the world of other things, which is the basis of this discussion, essentially. So the first question is, now we've heard that the virtue of this Zazen is huge. Stupid people or ignorant people may question this by asking, there are so many gates to the Buddha Dharma, why do you only recommend Zazen? And many people ask this very question. But most people ask this question. Why is that so special? And as we know, it's impossible to explain to people who've never done it. It's very, very difficult to characterize. But Dogen says it's just because it's the first true gate to Buddha Dharma. It's the way in, you could say. So then the second question is, why is this alone the true gate? And he said, well, Shakyamuni Buddha transmitted this. He discovered it. All the Tathagatas of the three times all attain the way through Zazen. It's been conveyed from one person to another as the true gate. And that's the interesting part about Zazen. That once we discover it, we discover each other in it, and we begin to practice together. We very often begin by sitting alone, but as we sit alone, the need for each other becomes quite apparent. And in some way or another, we begin to develop a sense of connection. All ancestors of India and China attained the way through Zazen. So he said, now I'm showing the true gate, or the front gate to human and celestial beings. What Bodhidharma did was just go and sit among people who were practicing all kinds of rituals, had very deep and serious practices, but he went into that context and just sat down. And slowly people began to taste the truth of that. And the third question is, relying on either the correct transmitting of the wondrous method of Tathagatas or following the tracks of the ancestral teachers is truly beyond our ordinary thinking. However, reading sutras and chanting Nembutsu naturally can become a cause of satori. How can just sitting vainly without doing anything be a means for attaining enlightenment? so again. It just looks like that. It looks like not doing anything, but as we know, it's a very vigorous kind of doing. It's very intentional activity. But it doesn't look like anything. Dogen says saying that is slandering the Mahayana. A deep, deep delusion. As if saying there's no water even in the middle of the ocean. Thankfully, he says, doing zazen is already sitting peacefully in the practice of the Buddhas. It's pitiful, he says, that your eyes aren't open and your mind is still drunk. On the whole, the Buddha realm is incomprehensible, unreachable through discrimination. Much less can it be known with no faith and inferior insight. Without trust and without wisdom. Says, even at Vulture Peak, there was a group of people of whom Buddha said, it's good that they leave. They all up and went when he started to talk in the Lotus Sutra. And he said, oh, that's fine, they're not ready. They don't get it. And that's the best. It's really hopeless to shake a finger and say, you must do this. And it's not that kind of thing. You can't say, sit down, do it. It has to do us. He says, generally, if true faith arises in your heart, you should practice and study. If it does not, you should give it up for a while and regret not having the blessing of Dharma from long ago. And then he talks about those other practices and saying it's extremely, tremendously distant from Buddha Dharma. Intending to reach the Buddha way through stupid, ceaseless chanting millions of times is like steering a cart north and trying to go south. Same trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Reading literature while ignoring the way of practice is like a person reading a prescription but forgetting to take the medicine. Welcome. We're reading Bendoa, which you may have done before. I can't remember. It's Dogen's discussion of practice, meaning sit. It's wonderful to see you. Do you know everybody? Maybe not.
Judy, nice to meet you. I think I know her from once.
Good. So then the fourth question is about other practices, the Tendai and the Kagon teachings, which are based on the Lotus Sutra and the Avatamsaka Sutra, which have been transmitted now in Japan and are both the most sublime teachings of the Mahayana. However, the mantra school, the Shingon teaching, was intimately transmitted from Vairocana to Tathagata to Vajrasattva, from teacher to disciple without deviation. Its principle is that mind itself is Buddha, or this mind becomes Buddha, which propounds the true awakening of the five Buddhas at the instant of sitting without passing through many kalpas of practice. This is the question. This must be called the pinnacle of Buddha Dharma. In spite of that, because of what superior features of practice you are now speaking about, do you solely recommend this and set aside all those others? He said, Buddhist practitioners should know not to argue about the superiority and inferiority of teachings, and not to discriminate between superficial or profound dharma, but should only know whether the practice is genuine or false. There were those who flowed into the Buddha way drawn by grasses, flowers, mountains, or rivers. And there are some who received and upheld the Buddha mudra from grasping earth, stones, sand, or pebbles. Furthermore, words that express the vastness of reality are even more abundant than all the myriad things. The turning of the great Dharma wheel is contained in one speck of dust. Therefore, the words, the mind itself is Buddha, are the moon reflected in the water. The principle, instant of sitting is becoming Buddha, is also a reflection within the mirror. Don't be caught in the skillfulness of words. In order to allow you to become an authentic person of the way, I recommend truly engaging in practice which directly actualizes bodhi, awakening, and in showing the wondrous way which is simply transmitted by Buddha ancestors. Hoping you will become a true practitioner of the way. So Uchiyama Roshi talks about understanding deeply and clarifying how different the whole world of Zazen and the whole world of other things are from each other. As a Buddha, one has to clarify and affirm the arousing of Buddha mind, practice and awakening, and the nirvana of the Buddhas and ancestors. Arousing the Buddha mind, the aspiration for the way, we must do it from the ground of letting go of thought. We must do the practice and actualize the awakening and the nirvana of letting go of thoughts. Talks about different eyes, the two sorts of eyes, the eye of thought and the eye which goes beyond human thoughts. The view through the eye of thought puts thought as the foundation of all things, and firmly believes that its own thought is the measure for all things. This is the eye of ordinary human beings. It's a subjective way, based on preconceptions. He says this subjective way of viewing things through our own narrow eyes isn't right. The right way of seeing things must be objective and rational. He said this is the way modern science sees things. It is impossible for a general concept of I, the I of the self, to resolve all problems. Both the eyes of a subjective I and the eyes of an objective and reasonable I are the same, because both of them are the eyes of thought. But he says there's another eye from ancient times, the eye that does not assume egocentric thought is absolute. This is the eye of religion, which believes that instead of our thought, only God is the true eye. However, since this eye negates all thought and human reason, it is possible for it to become one with superstitious false belief. In the case of Buddhism, the Buddha's eye is that of letting go of thought. It doesn't negate thoughts. We just let them come and go freely. When we put letting go of thought into words, someone who's a philosopher might say that it is also a kind of thought. However, we have to let go of even such doubting thought. The practice of Zazen as letting go of thought is an actual activity grounded in life instead of thoughts and concepts. Dogen says, you should know that we unquestionably lack nothing of unsurpassed enlightenment. But though we receive and use it endlessly, because we cannot fully accept it, we mindlessly make our arising views habitual and think of them as real, as an object, and thus miss the great way. So we think about all the teachings, and that's what the Buddha way is. It's the 10-fold path and the 8-fold path and the this and the that. These views arise endlessly. Do Zazen wholeheartedly, thoroughly, relying on the Buddha form, and letting go of all affairs. Then leap beyond the boundary. Leap beyond the boundary about delusion and enlightenment. Don't be caught up in the dichotomy of paths of ordinary or sages, sacred and ordinary. And stroll beyond classifications and receive and use the Great Awakening. He speaks in huge gestures. trying to describe what can't be described and encourage what can only be encouraged in the context of already practicing in some way. When new people come to sit, it's very well not to try to explain everything. In Zen, we emphasize posture, bodily posture, and make sure that the breathing is as free as possible, and that the flow of the physical energy is as freely flowing as possible, which is attained by this kind of posture. It just gives us a lot of stability, and it means that we can be quiet, not disturbed by our own body so much. And really, that's enough. Just to be given that instruction is enough. Please sit down, be comfortable, breathe, breathe in, notice you're breathing in, breathe out, notice that you're breathing out. Oh, you're breathing in again, you're breathing out. And suddenly, all the stuff that's going on in us all the time, where'd it go? It's nowhere. It was all a dream. It's just this, right here, where we are. So when Dogen came from China, he came with that message, and then to try to encourage people, he had to find ways of meeting people, and he got involved with politics of the practices that were already there, all the ones that they describe in here, the Avatamsaka and the Kagon school and all of that. And they didn't like this new way, so he had to go out into the mountains and kind of hide out and create a small practice place where people could sit. A friend of mine has started a little practice place, and very few people are coming. And she called me the other day and was really worried about it. Said, I'm not a good teacher, nobody is coming. Then she called me back and she found something that Dogen says. And even if two or three people come, that's enough. That's absolutely fine. It's the sitting that's important. Just be the space. Be the peace and the quiet. And let it go. So maybe that's enough. That's four questions and answers, sort of, kind of. Let's stroll beyond the ordinary thinking and receive and use great awakening. Is there comments and questions? comment?
I wonder if somebody can recap our last meeting, the same subject, if you remember it, and how it came across when you read it, and you dissected it, and now we had another one.
Well, we're a bit taken back by being called stupid. Except for Samia liked it.
It applied.
And the word faith was sort of a tricky word at times. So I guess that was our question of that. You read the same thing that we read last time, but no. Was that about what our impression was? I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think we wondered about doubt. There was any place for doubt.
There has to be. And faith is a funny word. Faith is so colored by many different religions as belief, as blind belief. And Buddhism doesn't do blind belief. Buddha said, you don't have to believe anything that I say. You should question it, doubt it, and test it against your own experience. And let your own wisdom tell you the truth of things. So that's a very different kind of faith. It means trusting yourself, having faith in your own ability to know what's true, and also your own ability to be in the world, to live, to be this life without being too attached to any one part of it, being too attached to, especially to a sense of self that gets in the way of flowing with the grasses and the rocks and the trees and the mountains that he talks about in there. That flow of with everything is truly our life. And we try to jam it into a fixed place. And sitting opens the flow, you could say. Makes the connection clear. It's always there. But sometimes we block ourselves. Karen?
I guess I just want to rename my the experience of being in the room this weekend with so many people sitting so close together like that. It really was quite powerful, and the connection felt connecting the silence kept coming back, and the image of a lot of candles where if you could if everybody could be still, then this candle would be, they would be very tall. The flames, you know, they would be very tall.
Mm.
I kept thinking that with, you know, because there's these really, these moments where the stillness was so amazing. And then the candles would get all off for a while. I don't know. It was just really interesting to do that. I have not done that anymore. It was a little, everybody wears black. And I came in with some off color.
Well, that's the little Zendo. The big Zendo was in use by a rental group, so
yeah, we were all crammed in.
We were all in there. It was crowded. It was powerful. Yeah.
You mentioned doubt, and doubt was something that I forget who, but maybe you'll remember, but there's a teacher who talks about doubt and talks about having a seed of doubt in us when we sit, and that we can, like, kind of, if we, it reminds me of the sword cutting through, like, the clouds of thought, right? Manjushri sword. That doubt is the one thing that keeps us here, that keeps us kind of like part of this process. You know, what drew me in my life to even wanting to do this weird thing? We just sit around, I don't know what we're doing. That was the doubt, you know, that there was something in my mind that I didn't believe this whole thing. You know, the eye that was seeing the subjective experience, I didn't believe that was true. I didn't believe that that was all there was. And that doubt is what got me to the cushion. The doubt is what keeps me there and keeps me wondering and keeps me in that state of not knowing. That it's been such a, like, an essential part of my practice. And I can't remember the teacher that talks about that, but I wish I did.
Well, Aiken Roshi said not knowing is most intimate. That just keeping a mind of an open mind and not knowing. And Rinzai, the practice is to develop a great doubt, a huge doubt, so overwhelming that you can't hardly stand it, and that is supposed to give you a breakthrough to Satori. But that's different from our practice. But what you're describing is more like the don't know mind of the Koreans, who talk about only don't know. But what is it? Just being open and surprised. You know, I think sometimes we're just continually surprised as it opens for us. As it is new over and over. Never quite the same. Yeah. Well, it's 8:00. Surprise. There are announcements. Carolyn?
I've been out of town a couple of weeks, but we were talking about bringing in the Mokukyo and chanting the Heart Sutra in Japanese, and I wonder if we want to revisit that either now or sometime as a practice.
What does everybody think? Shall we go back to the Sino-Japanese with the Mokukyo? Or we could do the Mokugyo with English too.
I have a feeling about it that I can express is that it's maybe this is coming from practicing with it a long time, but with the Heart Sutra in English, but doing it in the Japanese, in the Japanese, it enters in a different way, and especially in the Mokukyo. So there is that sense of, what is this? As you're chanting.
It's very mysterious.
And then there's, you know, so it's a very interesting practice. I mean, to take up, and maybe we don't have to do it forever, but certainly might be interesting. That's my feeling about it.
Well, we can all just decide right now. Shall we do it?
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yeah.
I took the words out of my mouth. That's the same reason I always love the Japanese version, because I don't speak Japanese.
No.
So it's perfect. I know what I'm saying.
I don't think Wendy wants
to. I'm good with the Japanese method.
You too?
I'm open.
Okay.
Is there a sense like the mom?
Yeah. Try it and then see.
Let's do.
I was wondering how it's done traditionally. Are there two people doing it? I remember you used to do it all by yourself. Right. A long time ago.
Well, that was then. This is now. But anyway, even in this setting of the floating zendo, it's usually one person who's done it. You know,
we had Hisayo doing it, doing the drum for a while.
Yeah.
You mean hitting the Mokukyo and the bell? You did that all by yourself.
Yeah.
But there's the part where you're doing the big bell, the little bell, and the Mokukyo, especially when we say Prajna Paramita.
Yeah, there is that part, and I actually don't remember how we did it.
It's tricky.
And we didn't do it probably too well. Meg did it too, so we traded off.
But we were doing it in English at that time.
At that time we were.
Yeah, so you didn't have to handle the words and the sticks.
Yeah, but there are the sheets. If there are the sheets, if you've done them in Japanese, there would be the sheets that have the markings.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what that's your role as the doan to, mm-hmm. you know, to...
The bell
the
goes.
Sensei is leading the chant, and the doan is... looks at the music.
Right.
Turns the pages and looks at the music. So
how many doans do we have that know how to do that?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've done it.
Can you go like this?
And I'm not going to be around much, but I could try for a few weeks while I'm still in town, and then we could just try this for a while.
Great.
If there are those sheets.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
have them.
I'm sure. Better marked for the Japanese. Ability.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one here. Somewhere.
You know, for someone to do the Mokukyo, that could change. Like, it's really pretty simple.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you? Well, that's good too.
But I would like to know how it's done traditionally.
The Mokugyo?
The whole thing. Are there two people that are doing...
Usually there are two people.
Right. But the person that's doing the actual leading of the chanting...
That's another person.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. That's the Kokyo.
So that's the one person, and the other person's just handling all the bells and the Mokugyo.
No, somebody does all the bells... Somebody does the drum, the Mokukyo, and somebody does the chanting.
Right.
And then somebody stands by the door and makes sure everybody is doing everything right.
You said traditionally.
Yes.
She's playing traditionally.
Right.
And at Eheiji, the drum is, how can I compare it, from here to in front of the altar.
Wow.
And this high.
Mm-hmm.
with a
Oh, we need one.
And the bell is that big also, with a big bong every time. So what we have is very, very simple compared to that. Very, very simple.
But if you have been doing it here in the floating zendo, and which more recent practice than when I was doing it, with two people, that does make sense. You know, if there are two people who are going to be around, that can
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And it's good practice, too. Mm-hmm. You coordinate and learn how to make it work together. Yeah. Well, shall we do that next week?
When do you hear the Doan for a certain period of time? I could talk to you and we could work something out.
Actually, next week, Marie or I, it's going to be either Marie or me.
Okay.
So you can talk to either of us.
After next week.
Oh, we do it on a week.
Oh, week by week basis.
Yeah.
So Ellie has passed the scheduling to me.
Yes.
So now I'm nervous that we don't have enough bell.
Oh, well, we have to. Well, Wendy and Marie and I are usually the usual ones. I mean, Sammy knows how to do it. You know how to do it. I mean, we have others
who
can do it. But it's the three of us are having a problem most of the time doing it because we just, Marie's out of town a lot.
But it works.
It works, yeah. And I'm not always here, and, you know.
Well, I'll do the Mokukyo with whomever, or do the vows with whomever.
Okay, starting next week. So when you are you opening next week?
I don't know.
Oh, not opening, but just taking over the scheduling of the openers.
But you opened today. The reason I say that, if you put the Heart Sutra to have the Japanese one out on my English one.
Okay,
that's it. Okay. Whoever's going to open.
Well, hopefully Jeffrey. I thought Jeffrey was going to open. He should be back next week. We'll have to tell him.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Above and over Zazen.
Yes. That's what happens when we do it together. We have to organize a little bit. But not too much. Okay, 1 minute.